And he came down there and he brought a whole bunch of balls and bats, you know, and everybody wanted to see Ty Cobb play. And so, you know, nobody down in that part of the ever seen 2 dozen baseballs and a whole bunch of bats and everything, you know, and see Ty Cobb. And so anyway, they like one guy by having enough players to play. Of course, I was a little kid down there then, you know, and I could run like a jackrabbit and throw that ball like nobody's business, you know, and they like one guy. And they said, why don't you let that little cum-headed kid play out there? And I had just a little old pancake of a glove, you know. You ought to have seen the gloves we used to have.
I'm going to get to that a little bit. I'm going to be asking you about that.
Terrible, just a little old pancake, like a real small glove. And anyway, Ty Cobb said, come here, Cotton Top. And I went over there. He put me on his knee, you know, and I had long hair down there, and I was white-headed, you know. And he run through his fingers through my hair, and I said, pimples went all over me, goose pimples. And I said, oh, my, Ty Cobb, I'm sitting on his lap. The greatest ball player that ever lived. Of course, I'd heard about him and everything like that, and everybody go around and just looked at him like that, like he'd done something awful. We never seen a ball player. Ty Cobb was in a uniform. The rest of the guys that had pieces uniform, man, he was dressed up like a president of the United States. Come down there and he said, you're my right fielder today. He got out there, to make a long story short, I slid on my elbows in the first one. I caught a line drive, see. And he come in there and he said, hey, Cotton Top, I've seen a lot of catches, but that's the best cotton picking catch ever I've seen in baseball. I made two of them. And boy, I tell you what, making that, and I just get back to him. 46, we tied for the pendant in St. Louis. Ty Cobb was in our clubhouse. And so after DeRocher and Charlie Dress and Red Cord and Dixie Walker and Pee Wee Reese and all of them got through talking to Ty Cobb, and he started out nearly game time. I waited. I just wanted to talk to him, you know, and wanted to know I was the same kid that, you know. And I said, Mr. Cobb, he said, yeah, hearing. He said, you know, you're the best relief pitcher in baseball. There's one other hearing in baseball with the Milwaukee Bill hearing. But he said, you're the best pitcher in baseball. I said, well, thank you. Relief pitcher in baseball. And so thank you. And so anyway, he said, boy, it's about game time. And I said, Mr. Cobb, you remember when you came to Oklahoma one time to down there and leave to see your sister? And he said, ooh, yeah, let me, he said, play next to a little one-room schoolhouse down there. And he said, yeah, let me tell you something. There's a little white-headed kid made two of the greatest catches I ever seen in all my life. He said, I'd give a thing in the world to know where that kid is. And I said, you're looking at it.
That's a great story.
Boy, the newspapers come out and they took a picture of me and Ty Cobb, you know. And boy, the Brooklyn Eagle and New York Times, here I was with Ty Cobb.
Well, for a guy that sounded like he had one of the nastiest dispositions in history, sounds like he was a nice guy.
He was.
Yeah.
I saw him and Ray Smith fight three times underneath the clubhouse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then shook hands and just, I love you.
Mm.
I just came with me and you came with me.
It was all over.
That's just the way it
is. How about Dazzy Vance? Tell me about him.
Oh, Dazzy was the nicest guy. He makes me think of Honus Wagner. Honus Wagner sat on the bench with Detroit in my last year up there. And I talked to Honus, you know, and I said, Honus, you think you could hit me? He said, no, no way. You know, oh, he was the nicest guy you ever seen. And Dazzy Vance, he'd say, I said, Dazzy, tell me how to pitch to you. He said, you don't need no help. You show me you can pitch. You can pitch. And, oh, gee, every now and then, you know, I'd look in there and he'd say, if you have any doubt, you look in here and I'll help you, you know. And he would.
Mm-hmm.
He would.
How about Hugh Casey?
Oh, he and I, we was a bullpen pitcher for the DeRocher. The latter part of years I was up there, you know. Now I was really at the first four innings or five innings, vice versa, every day. We go in the bullpen. DeRocher get the short or the long one, you know, motion down there. And he shot himself in Dallas, Texas, killed himself. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Nicest guy, I don't know what happened to him. Nicest guy ever was around, and boy, can't believe it.
Well, the last two I want to ask you about. First of all, tell me about Jackie Robinson. I don't know if you ever got to pitch against him or not, but tell me about what you thought about his, not only him, but his signing.
Well, you know, in Brooklyn, Dixie Walker and a bunch of them came around with a petition to sign, you know. Mm-hmm. Didn't want no colored guy to play there. And I says, Bob Runner's side, Dick Quits, Rube Melt, myself, wouldn't sign it. They didn't like it. And I thought I was going to lose some friends just because we wouldn't sign it on account of that. And they'd say, oh, you nigger lovers and all like that. And I said, now listen, let me tell you the way I feel about it. I can't help it. I said, well, I feel. I was raised with these colored people, and they had their place in town and everything, and I was raised with them, Oklahoma and all. And I said, listen, we got a Cuban, we got a Polack, we got a Jew, we got every kind here. I said, it can't be any worse than me or you or somebody else just because he's black. Ah, you boy, he said. Well, anyway, he was one of the best. One of the best. And he took all of that, everything for it, you know.
Yeah, all that abuse.
Everything. I can't believe it. People. Well, they said, well, I was mean out there, but that's my bread and butter. If I like Ted Gulick and Storty and Melot, I'd Ralph Kiner, I'd knock him down. Man, I'd get him out. And I'd do it.
Mm-hmm.
See? I didn't
want
to hurt him.
Right.
But that's my bread and butter. I'm up there trying to make a living. And so that's what it was. But when Jackie Robinson died, you know who was carrying his coffin? Dixie Walker, Peter, Peterson, that boy.
Mm-hmm.
That made me sick. Just think about it, made me sick.
How about, did you, last question about any of these old, guys, did you do any barnstorming against any of the old Negro League teams? Pittsburgh Crawfords or anybody like that?
But 19 and... 24, my oldest brother went to Kansas City, and of course, as a Bloomer girl, we watched the Kansas City Monarchs, Bloomer girl, whatever it was. And reason I remember this, Satchel Paige was there, see. And now that's the first time I remember they call him, I remember it well, because, you know, women care. Satchel, with his satchel. It used to be not pocketbook, it used to be satchel. And I remember that old guy, Satchel Paige. And he pitched that day, and you couldn't touch that slim kid then. And I think, oh, they had some ball players there. They beat the... They had a lopsided score against them guys. My oldest brother played a little, see.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's the first time. But I know so many... I do cardinal work, build houses here and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I got my best friends, colored people, Mexicans, Dagos. I got a Dago out here, Cardinal Family. I ain't a Dago. Nicest people ever was. They call me fish, herring, sardine, everything. And baseball. Used to it, they'd say, hey, your shoes untied. The coaches used to do anything in the world to try to win a ball game. All that stuff, you know. And now they make it mad. They want to fight. You know, in the Texas League, when I was down there in 32, Dale Baker's a manager down there at Beaumont, and we had Greenberg and all that bunch, Schoolboy Rowe and Ray Fritz, and Kerry Seff was at Houston, and he was a tough guy, Fritz, he was the fightingest guy I've ever seen in my life, the nicest guy. You'd have to put him in a corner and do everything in the world to get him to fight. But boy, he could whoop a pin full of man, he's tough. But anyway, if they started a fight, formed a ring, and they fought it out.
Oh, yeah?
And he stumped all that. Stumped all that. Now you throw one guy here anything, you know. Why, man, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've had boy Prince of Baseball right here hit back at me. I can show you all over my legs where I've got scars.
Mm-hmm.
Ball hit back to me, I'd stop him on my legs and throw him out. We had a throwing contest in Brooklyn, Chicago one time when Harton and that bunch is up there against Erickson come in and pitched. And I started that ball game. I beat them 3-1, you see. And anyway, they started the attack. I knocked him down, right on down. Graham, Hartnett, everybody knocked him down. There's only one hard hit ball off me. Stan hit the first man up, hit a line drive to Joe Tripp at third base. And only hard hit ball hit off me. I beat him 3-1. And I came to bat. Erickson, I sometimes feel it right now, right there. Erickson hit me right on that thing right there. Now, I just pick up the ball and pitch it back to him. Mm-hmm. See, if he'd have come to bat, I'd have lured it on him. Yeah. But that's just the way it was.
Just the way it's different. Yeah, it's yeah. different than it is now.
Right.
Yeah, now they want to fight every...
Well, they can't fight. Yeah. We had a free-for-all in Brooklyn when Perillo kicked out Dixie Walker's teeth and I had a bunch of, I had a free-for-all in there. We didn't have a pitcher to fight.
How about the stadiums that you played in? Did you have a favorite, a major league, did you have a favorite place to pitch or least favorite or didn't make any difference?
I didn't like St. Louis because I couldn't get them out. Mm-hmm. But Boston, Cleveland, Chicago had a, White Sox had a big park, I could throw that half fastball and get them out, you see. But you take Boston, I like to pitch in Boston. They had that bank up there. Father Gill was our right fielder. Father Gill was 5'7" and weighed about 300 pounds. Oh, he'd hit a triple, he'd just move his belly like it. People enjoyed that. He'd do it. He's tougher than a boot.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the nicest guy. Boy, I just, so many of my friends, I tell you what. Mm-hmm. You just go back and Lenny McDonald, Wilson Moore. Let me tell you this. Wilson Moore and Babe Ruth had a bet one time. Babe Ruth bet Wilson Moore $300 that he wouldn't get 3 hits during the season. Wilson Moore won 15 games that year.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little more than that, I believe. And so, last day of the season, Wilson got a base hit for 3. And so, he lived at Hollis, Oklahoma. I lived in Alice, Oklahoma. Every Thursday, we had greyhounds. We go over there and run jackrabbits over wheat fields, you know, with meat. Hey, well, you know, had about 25 or 30 guys. Everybody had dogs with meat over there. Just good day fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
We come out there, and so Wilson, he's at Art one time said, what'll I do with that $300? I said, let me tell you what you do. Buy 3 old mules. Had them branded, put Babe on one and Ruth on the other. And don't you know, he charged a dime. People drive in there to see them old mules. People drive in there every Sunday all day long. And he built a Baptist church out there, you know. Just the money on them church.
That's a good story. How about the fans at Ebbets Field? There, when you finished up, nuts? Or tell me about the Hilda Chester with her cowbell and the symphony band. Tell me about this.
Oh, that band, they go to Philadelphia, they go every place with us. You know, I tell you what. Now, that made the ball club. But you know, they were the nicest people, and they were just common people. Hilda in the band. Oh, I tell you, Ebbets Field, it just... But, oh, I tell you, Brooklyn, I wouldn't live in New York for no amount of money.
But you enjoyed playing there.
Oh, yes. Oh, I stayed with Dick Whitman and I and Bob Ronan stayed at Suite in the hotel. I forget the hotel name, but anyway, we stayed in there in Brooklyn, you know. We Charlie's Steakhouse down there, and oh, listen, fans would come out there, and they'd meet us to the door. And they knew just exactly when we'd go to have breakfast and come out, and there'd be 75 or 100 people. We'd just fill that elevated train clean out around the ballpark, and then every day, they'd go right to the ballpark, to the restaurant with us when they eat. See you tomorrow. That's just the way they are.
Like family.
Sure. When we was homesick and everything, you know, when I got home, I had a little boy about 3 years old, and I got letters from girls and stuff, you know, and oh, gee, my wife didn't like that. They asked me, said, Art, come be all right to be right here when you get home. I said, sure, I'd be glad to hear from you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, my little boy, he crawled into the bed. Boy, he just mad. That little guy.
How about talk a little bit about umpires. Was there anybody that Do you have a favorite umpire? Maybe somebody that that had a little bit of an expanded strike zone, or is there somebody that had a small one that you didn't like to see behind the plate? Or
yes, this I shouldn't call any names.
Well, feel free.
But oh gosh, yes. But you take this Geiselman and Moriarty and Big Bullneck Guthrie and I can't name them now, but oh, near 90% of them were super, mm-hmm. super. Best umpires, I tell you what. Nice people. Van Grafton, he wasn't very good, but you know.
How about, you talked a little bit about fights, Dixie Walker and this and that. Any other fights that you remember, and do you ever get thrown out of a game?
One time in American Association, I was over here at Columbus, you know, and this guy just told me, he just throwed me out because I never throwed out, you see. He said, I'm throwing you out. And I said, well, you didn't throw me out. I wasn't going to leave. I didn't think he's a good friend of mine. But he just wanted to show you, throw me out. And I tell you one time, there's an umpire sick in Detroit, and I got a check for umpiring, 3 innings in Detroit, David Beal. Now, that's something, I'm proud of that.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, I forget what umpire it was. I think it's Jocko Collins came in, a little umpire, used to be a good ball player. He came in, and he was sick, and the two managers got together, and Bucky Harris said, Art, you're the umpire today. And the umpire at first base. I had 3 or 4 calls, too.
Any arguments?
No arguments, but well, I didn't.
That's good.